Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Gracious Father in heaven, thank you for this fine weather today, Lord, as we gather in this place. In the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Be in the midst of us, Father, according to the promise of our Lord, where two or three are gathered together in thy wonderful name, there you will be in the midst of us. Gracious Lord Jesus, Master, Father, we thank you. Thank you for all that you have done. The Lord, all these past years and our life, you have kept, Lord. And guiding us in the walk with you in the light of the present truth. Lord, as we continue in our walk to the coming of our Lord and Savior, Father, you open our hearts and our minds, Father, to the hearing of the word, to the understanding of it, Lord, that we keep it in our heart that we may not sin against thee. For the hour is late, truly, Lord, and the world is heaped up with sins. And we know that, Father, truly, your grace is so much more for us, even as the sins of the world increases, Lord. Father, we thank you for your grace upon our life. Thank you, Lord. Bless us now, Father, as we approach thy word, that you bless in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to continue today with that, three of the serpent. But just to pick up very quickly now, we want to look at the chart and then just to recall your mind as to what you are well acquainted with. Now, we know that the life of the children of Israel, where we are going to pick up, because this is the where we find that the children of Israel, the nature of that serpent are so ingrained into the nation. And we also can see how that he also reflects in the church. Alright, so we're going to look at here now, in this chart, we know what happened in the garden. We have Adam and Eve, and we have the serpent. And you know how that the serpent seduced Eve and impregnated her, and she conceived a seed, and that seed was none other than Cain. And Adam, in order to save her, of course, because already when Eve was seduced by the serpent, Eve belongs to the serpent. Alright, it no longer belonged to Adam, by right. You know, because they were not even in wedlock. So, but Adam knew that Eve was from his side, and she was the only one that God had made for her, because the Bible said there is only one. And that's not going to, that God did not make two women for Adam. So by this, we have a revelation that man shall have only one wife. And that's why when God, when polygamy came into the Cainic line, God allows it for the time. Until the gospel came, Jesus pointed them back, pointed the Pharisees and religious leaders back to the beginning. I said, beginning, in the beginning it was not so. Alright, for the man to have more than one wife. And then we won't keep on marrying because your wife doesn't cook you a nice piece of, beefsteak or something. You have the right to dismiss her, to divorce her, and then you go and marry somebody else. And these things was not so in the beginning. Now this is what Jesus said. But the law of Moses was given to them for a reason, that if you know what the law spoke about, because of man's carnality, and they see the thing that were going on in the other nations, Israel commit the same thing. They follow the same thing. Alright. But even in the beginning, already God allows even Abraham to have more than one. So that is under the permissive will of God. So by in the beginning, we know that there is only one, because there is only one woman that came out of Adam. So we know therefore there are two seeds, and we have the seed of Adam that was Abel, and the seed of serpent was Cain. And you know, Cain killed Abel. So God gave Adam another seed, and that was Seth. Now, as we begin to continue, we find that over time, these two lines, the Sethic line and the Cainic line, begin to mix. If you look at this list of the Adamic firstborn, after Abel was killed, God allowed him to have a son called Seth. How old was Adam when he had Seth? Go to the book of Genesis so that you should remember. How old was Adam then? when he had said. In the book of Genesis chapter 5. And you find that it says in verse 3, chapter 5, Genesis verse 3, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own image. So, you just imagine that by the time that Adam, you know, after Eve was killed, Adam lived 130 years before he consummated again with Eve, when you know when he went into Eve and conceived a child and called the child's name Seth. 130 years. So by the time that Seth was born, how old was Cain? Think about it. Cain was 130 years, right? You see? So 130 years older than Seth. You understand? So now, when we look into the Bible as you continue, we realize that after Seth gave birth to Enos, how old was Seth when he gave birth to Enos? Because this is important. So as I said, I want to to detail the revelation of God's word. We need to really look at the way that God placed those dates. God used certain terms. Because a lot of people miss it, and that's why doctrines of the Bible and the mystery of the Bible was all missed up. And people just grab something and give it a teaching and propagate it, and that's all we have in denomination today. All that thing about Cain came from Adam. You know, and the serpent was a snake or something, and the serpent himself was Satan and all that. But they don't look at the details of what the Bible said. It is hidden there in the Word of God. So now, how was Seth when he gave birth to Enos? And that is in verse 6. And Seth lived 105 years. 105 years. And he gave birth to Enos. So now, I want to let you know that after Adam gave birth to Seth, the Bible said also in verse 4, that he had sons and daughters after that, right? Seth was not his only son. He had sons and daughters after Seth was born. So then, when we look at it, Cain took a half-sister. Alright? One of the half-sisters. Let's say that after Seth was born, a year later, Adam had a daughter. And the daughter grew up. Well, you know, if you look at the genealogy of the Bible, there's one peculiarity. God lists out the name of the septic line and the age they give birth to such and such a son. Right? So there is a detail. But in the line of the genealogy of Cain, after he gave birth to Enos and so on and so forth, there was not even a mention of the age. Why is it so? Because God is not concerned about the false seed. God is concerned about the true seed. He is concerned about his own people. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, and you realize one thing, that those name of the generation of Seth, the people, all those firstborn, only listed the firstborn, because that's where the inheritance are passed down. And they are all about 100 years or so. And they got married and have a son. Now, that's kind of long, isn't it? To live about 100 years and get married and then have a son. But you understand one thing, that the Seth people are not sex mania. Not like Kenic people. And that's why we have all kinds of problems in the Kenic line. That's why they have even worship, where there are many gods, and they even have orgy, and they sacrifice children. You understand? So, at what age do you think Cain married his half-sister? And the Bible used the word woman. You know, when the Bible talks about woman not cutting hair, One is that a woman should not cut their hair. And it's because the word woman is used not about girl. If you go, little girl, you want to cut your hair, that's fine. But the Bible talks about woman, means the word woman means a female of marriageable age. When is a woman of marriageable age? It's when she comes into a womanhood, which is about 12, 13 years old. Usually around that 13 years old. Is that right? You all know that, don't you? I mean, when God says, well, let's say this, when God said not to do something, don't do it. If you are rebellious and want defiant, that's your problem. And you're going to face God one day. And that's not why many times, even let's look at this. Peter. And you know, we Christians are all balls. We are all strange people to the world. You all agree with it? God called us out. That's why God, when He called Abraham out and to have a people, a nation, He says, you circumcise every male child. Why? Other nations don't circumcise. Why do the Jews circumcise? And you can, some Israelites say, maybe we don't need it. You don't need it. Then God said, those who are not circumcised will be cut off from Israel. They said, God even wanted to kill Moses' son. Because he was not circumcised. He was only a little kid. Moses was too busy with his ministry that he even forgot to circumcise the son. And the angel of the Lord wanted to kill him. And Zipporah, the wife, quickly took a stone and quickly cut off the foreskin. And truly that Moses was angry with him. Those who are not circumcised will be cut off. Now, do you remember the time when Jesus was with the disciples? And you know, they were talking about the coming of the Lord and what's going to be in the future and all this thing. And there was this little young man, the disciple called John, that was always leaning on the bosom of Jesus Christ. Peter asked Jesus, what about this man? Jesus said, what is that to you? If he should tarry until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. You know, sometimes we say, oh, people can do it, we should be able to do it. You follow me. What is that to you? If John should live until I come. Jesus told Peter that. What is that to you? What do you think God sent a message for? What do you think God sent a message for? To call the people. A people that will be separate from tradition, from the world, to walk in the light of God's word. Not easy. Yeah, not easy. You want easy religion? Go follow the Catholic. Right? Easy religion. You come here to sin, go ahead, come here to sin, go to the priest and confess, and you'll be okay. Easy religion. There's a lot of falsehood in that, there's a false hope in that. Right? And Jesus said very straightforward, if you love me, keep my commandment. If you love me, keep my word. He didn't say, keep some of my word. God meant what he said and said what he meant. That's why I always say this. Because God's going to deal with everyone individually. Do you understand? And this is serious. Because Christianity everywhere, everybody thinks that I'm Christian. Everybody go to church with the Bible and listen to all the half an hour, 40 minute sermons, go home, shake a pastor, and everybody's fine. And what do they hear on Sunday? I've been in the assemblies of God for how many years? And all they have nice message. All 40 minutes. Nice. Pampered. Nothing deep. Nothing. No mystery of God to be understood. Nothing. Just chew whatever, just swallow whatever they give to you. All those 16 fundamental truths, and that's it. You know how they talk about the creed? We believe the Bible is the absolute word of God. We believe that God is three persons. We believe the salvation comes by Jesus Christ, right? And so on and so on. These are the basic things, and nothing deeper than that. Do you hear what I'm saying, right? So, be very very careful about our faith amounts to. So now, when we look into it now, Seth was 105 and beget Enos. 105 in there. What year do you, at what age then do you think on the other side Cain took the half sister to wife? Maybe when she was 13 years old, when she was able to give birth. Maybe. Or maybe 20 years old. Today we have seen in the Middle East, Arabic men, Muslim men out there, in many countries. I don't even know whether the Hindu practice that. They even have a grandfather having a child bride. Right? You know that, don't you? Even the baby that is born already engaged to a young man. So that when the child grows up, the girl grows up to 20 years old, he may be already 40 years old and took her as a bride. You see. So at what age we do not know. The Bible didn't tell us. But it's 105 years that Seth gave birth to Enos. Right? And he named his son Enos. So what happened in this period between Seth and Enos? That period of 100 years. Why did Seth call his son Enos? He called his son Enos was because there was something going on among the people. Here we have a camp, the Sadic group, where the Kenic group. Seth gave birth to son. He already sees something that is going on, called his son Enos. Enos means what? Frail, sickly. Something happened. God is keep putting all this name here to let us see. Within 100 years, between Seth and Enos, Cain already had a son called Enoch. Right? So, at what age was Enoch born then? How old was Cain when Enoch was born? Probably when he was 20 years old? I mean, when the wife was 20 years old? Right? That Enoch was born. The mother, that is, the wife of Cain. You understand? It could be. And then the 40 years, one son of there, and now one son of there, another. Let's say between the, since there is a gap of 100 years between Seth and Enoch, let's take it that at the age of 50 years, let's say 50 years, by the time that Seth was 50 years old, how many sons and daughters do you think that Cain had? And so by the time they came to 100 years old of Seth, how many sons and daughters and grandsons and great-grandsons do you think that Cain had? The Bible said that Cain had this son called Enoch, and he built a great city after Enoch, in a name, the city after Enoch. That of course not in the days of Enoch, but later on when there is a population. And the population of the Kenic people increases very fast. That by the time that Enoch, by the time that Seth gave birth to his son and called him Enos, he already sees thousands of people over the other side. And why did he call his son Enos? He called his son because the people were sick over on that side. As a testimony. Why did he call his son Enos? What was the sickness of the people over in Cain's camp? What did they commit? This is what they committed. Here. They invoked the name of Jehovah upon the idol that they have. Don't forget that Cain, Seth and Cain, the people, at that beginning, they all have knowledge only one God, Yahweh. They all know Yahweh. The only one God, they know it well. But you know, it's just a Catholicism. I want to have an image to see my God. So they create something. And they said, this is Yahweh. And they invoke the name of Yahweh upon idols. And by that time already, you might not believe it, they already would sacrifice a child. And that's why the Canaanite people later on continue with that, offering living sacrifice of children to their gods. So you see how much that this Cainic spirit that came from the serpent, that it was in Cain, the seed was a seed on the serpent, all developed into false worship. Huh? False worship. And as the line began to come, but when did the intermarriage took place? When did it take place? The intermarriage took place right about the time of Cain and Mahalalel. They already crossed over. The line of Seth crossed over to the Cainic line and looked at the woman over that side and married them. And by the time two generations later, it was so horrible. Giants were already born. That in the line of Seth, Enoch was born, and Enoch prophesied at that time about the coming judgment of God upon that generation. Right? How that there were, how the God would have thousands of angels came to judge. Remember that Enoch was the seventh from Adam. The Bible didn't lie about it. Enoch was number seven from Adam, fixed. No matter how the numbers are tried to twist and turn and say that Cain was Adam's son. Right? And yet the Bible specifically tells us Enoch was the seventh from Adam. And yet denomination, theology, how they twist and turn, try to force fit their doctrine. Now, so the intermarriage caused a giant to be born. And after a giant was born, the law was so corrupt before the Lord and filled with violence, and God sent a flood. Right? But who went into the ark of all the people on this side before the flood came? Only four couples. We know that. Noah and his wife. And his wife we know is Naaman. People in the denomination will tell me, prove it. There was Naaman. I already proved it in my book. A woman's name is never in the genealogy mentioned unless she plays a part in the history of mankind. Right? Don't believe me? Why was Ruth's name mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus Christ? Right? What has a woman to play a part in genealogy? It's always the men. But when a woman's name is mentioned, she plays a part. You must understand that. It's a mystery that is hidden. But the denomination want to make it so simple in their own belief and just wash it away. They have the right to. That's so why the church of God can never be perfected until the message came. And the message point the people back to the word. And that's what Abraham said, back to the Bible. And that's when the fivefold ministry will now come into operation. As according to Paul, Ephesians 4. Huh? The church started with the apostolic ministry, it will end with the apostolic ministry. Put the people back to the foundation of the word of God. You cannot move here and move there. Either we have the foundation or we don't have the foundation. Somebody sent me a link yesterday to a song that was written by a friend of my church. And the man was singing. What was it all about? Say what the tape say. And everything that was about Brother Branham, Brother Branham, he never make mistakes. Say what the tape say. Not even one mention of Jesus Christ. Think about it. We are living in the world. We are living in the last church age. This is the seventh. As you know, it was the seventh who prophesied about the coming judgment of God. This is the seventh church age. And the judgment of God must first come into the house of God. Because Jesus said, judgment begins in the house of God. We're going to finish all this. God is going to finish with His plan and purpose for the church. Either we walk with Him or go with Him. Or we don't. We have no choice. As Moses said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come. Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come. You see. Don't let the serpent time spirit and then the serpent nature that is embedded in us all surface and get into us. So they are so mixed that none of them was worthy to go into the ark. But Noah was the only one who was pure. Mary Norma, that was God's plan. Because the gene of Noah was the dominant one, the predominant one. And gave birth to three sons, only three sons. How come there were no daughters? Only three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Because over the flood, the whole world today are traced back to the three sons of Noah. But the Bible said in the book of Acts, we're all of one blood. Not the blood of Adam, but the blood of Noah. People say we are all Adamic people. No, we are not. We are so mixed. We can't even trace the sect. Right? We are so mixed already. Adamic people are pure. Do you know that? There was not even a serpentine nature in their blood. Noah was the last of the pure Sethic. So after the trisome was born, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, we are all mixed already. How the chromosome came from? Noah. How it came from? The mother. And we all came from the three sons. So regardless of what race you are, whether it's white, yellow, brown, black, or whatever, we all came from those three sons. And that super nature is there. It's embedded. That's why we talk about the tree of the serpent. Follow it. And understand what, how it comes down to our day. And into the church, it also came in. Alright, so over this time, we have the three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The Shemic, of course, is a Semitic people, the Hamic people, and then we have the Japhetic people. They all spread over today. Now, of course, in those days, this is where the Japhet people go over to the north of Europe, and then they live in Asia Minor. So the Hamic people are also in Africa, Arabic also, a little bit on Asia Minor, and the Semitic in Assyria, Mesopotamia, and also around the Mediterranean. But today, everyone, you can find in many countries, different people are so mixed. The world has gotten so small that though you go see a tribe that's pure, in a country completely. You might see them in a province, a mountain somewhere. Back in the, before the turn of the 20th century, in the 1800, in Japan, the people are trying to keep themselves pure from the British, from the white people. That's why you have this Edo period, the Samurai period, the fight, and all this war to keep away all the foreigners. You know. All right. So later on we see that God called Abraham and make him a covenant, select him as to be a father of a peculiar nation, a people who are circumcised in the foreskin. And when God says about circumcision in the foreskin, not in the year. Today of course we think about circumcision, we as I said the last few weeks ago. When we talk about circumcision, we automatically know it's about the foreskin. But circumcision is not about foreskin. Circumcision means the cutting of flesh. So you can circumcise your nose. You can circumcise your ear. But the Bible talks about circumcise in your foreskin. Now the Bible used the word foreskin. Circumcise in the foreskin. Or you should automatically know why the foreskin. Why the foreskin? Why not the ear? Because we are hard of hearing people, like myself, circumcised the ear. But why the foreskin? It was because that was the sexual organ where the seed comes from. Right? Life came from that area where cells, where the male cells and the female cells were mixed together in a woman's womb and bring forth life. Shed the blood. That's why the firstborn. All the male, after that, the firstborn, all the male were also circumcised. How important is that? For us to know that. So we have Abraham. After Abraham came from Isaac. Isaac came from Jacob and your 12 sons. When Jacob brought forth 12 sons, Jacob actually loved only one woman. And it was Rachel. And his call is Rachel. I always say, that's my wife. He only called those three his wife. Because Rachel was the one he loved. Laban cheated him, deceived him, and in the end he got 3 extra wives that he didn't bargain for. Now, we already know that the seed line, the Setic and the Canaan people were so mixed that the nature of the serpent is embedded into everyone. That's what we call about original sin. It's inherent in the blood. Alright? So it's all mixed into everyone. And when God, when we look at the seed line, we look at Cain and Abel. They are two sons from two different fathers, but one same woman, same mother. Two different fathers. That's Cain and Abel. Then the Bible continued to show us the next son that came out from the family was Ishmael and Isaac. One father, but two different women now. Right. So what is God trying to show us? That in the beginning, the Cain was one line, one seed. Abel was one seed. They were both from different father, two different seeds altogether. But when it was mixed and crossed over to the flood, when God called Abraham, Abraham now was promised a seed, but the wife could not wait, Sarah could not wait, Sarah could not wait, so asked Abraham to take Hagar. Right. And she was an Egyptian woman. A born woman, but not his wife. But it was around the custom of those days to tell a concubine to see a child and still be considered his son and the son of his own wife. So Ishmael was born through Hagar. And later on, Isaac was born to Sarah. From one man, two women, Hagar, Sarah, so you have two seeds from the same father, but also embedded in Ishmael was that blood that came from Hagar. Right? Well, it's not a promised woman. Was not the woman that God said would come from. It was Sarah. And they all came from the same gene pool. Remember? The Abraham and Sarah, they were all related. Traced back to who? To Terah. Nahor, Haran. They were all in the same gene pool. They were cousins. Right? God kept the family gene pool. But now we have Ishmael and we have Isaac. Same seed from the father, but the manifestations were different. It's from a different field. That is to say, Abraham sowed his seed in the field of Hagar. So his seed in the field of Sarah. What you sow, you reap. Isn't that true? No. So that's why God does not want us. Not like the days out there, in the days of Celtic people and the Canaan people, God do not want them to have cross sowing of seed in the marriage. Marry your own kind. When I say own kind, I don't mean that the Indian cannot marry a Chinese today. Eh? They same kind in your own faith. Yeah, I know. The Brahma, when listen to what I'm saying, says, oh, but brother, again, you are wrong. You are terribly, terribly wrong. Because Bob Ram said that a white man cannot marry a black woman. Yeah, Bob Ram said that. And I know what Bob Ram said there. Huh? Any family here, whether you're Indian or Chinese, if you are living in a country where there is racism, the blacks will always marry among themselves. The whites will marry among themselves. When you cross merit, your child coming up, kopi susu. You know that, don't you? Yeah, coffee with milk. coffee latte. And what happened? We go to school, the child will be picked on. Is that right? The child will be picked upon. Make fun of. That's the only problem. Otherwise, we're all mixed. Brother Branham was a mixed child. Do you know that? His wife. Was it his mother? Or father. I think his mother. Was a half Indian. Cherokee Indian or something. Or Shoshone. I can't remember now. Half Indian. So, you want to make me to believe the brother must look for a woman who's a half Indian in her before he can marry? Make your own kind, right? If that's the way that the Brahmin are interpreted. Look, I'm Chinese. I know I'm Chinese. But what line do I come from? Do I come from the Shamic line? Do I come from the Hemic line? Do I come from the Japhetic line? I don't know. I'm so mixed. But I know that the Chinese people were all from that line of Shemite. Can the Bible show us out there in the book of Genesis? Do you remember the brother of Peleg? Go to Genesis. See, somebody might still not remember. Go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 10. And over in verse 25. Unto Eva. Well, if you look at verse 21, that is from Shem's line, right? Got it. Unto Eva were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg. For in his days was the earth divided, and his brother's name was Jordan. Jordan begat Amodad, Shelep, Hazamavil, Jerah, and Hadoram, Uzzah, Diglah, and so on, so on, so on. And then you come to verse 30. And their dwelling was from Mishah, as thou goest unto Shephar, a mount of the east. It has been traced that they moved eastward. Peleg came down for the most part there, and then dwelt in Shinar, the plain of Shinar. That's where Babylon was built later on. But his brother moved eastward. Look at your map and see where is eastward. Moved eastward to Iran, and went over into the east. Some of his people, he got how many sons? I think, I don't know, 10 or 12 mentioned here. But not all moved eastward. I don't know which one went over eastward. And then together there was a man called Sin, from the Hemic line, went down to India and go eastward. So there were a lot of mixture. So I don't know, I come from the Shemic, I might have a little bit of the Hemic blood, a little bit of the Japhetic blood. Go to China today and see. The people up there in the north, they look like the Russian, the white people. Huh? Yes. Go down south towards India and Myanmar, the Chinese look like the Indian. So we are so mixed. And look at the Filipino, huh? Some of you Filipino brothers and sisters, you. I don't know how many parts of your body, your blood is Portuguese or Spanish or what else? Japanese or Dutch? Who don't know? But we are so mixed. And you want to tell me that about marriage, an Indian cannot marry a white or brown? The only thing is about this whole problem about color marriage is because of social problem. But it should not be a problem in the Church of the Living God. Do you understand? Alright. So now, that was Ishmael and Isaac. Same seed father, but different field. But the next one we came, we see Esau and Jacob. Now it's narrowing down. God is showing these three groups. Separate father, separate mother. Now, same father, same mother. Esau and Jacob. Right. Isaac saw his seed only in one woman. In who? In Rebekah. And out from that field came forth Esau and Jacob. And one of them sold his birthright to the other. What is God trying to tell us? It's no longer about a pure seed line. No. It's talking about a pure faith line. Do you understand? So when Paul said, not all Israel are Israel. And even Jesus told Peter, flesh and blood have not revealed to you who I am. You may be from the tribe of one of the tribe of the 12 sons of Israel. It doesn't mean that you are a member of the family of Israel. You know who I am. It's my Father who tells you who I am. It's my pleasure, the pleasure of my Father in heaven. Show it to you who I am. Because why? He loves you. Do you know who you are? It's God to show us who we are. And He is our Father. Is that so? You know? So it's no longer about the pure bloodline thing. It's not that we belong to Abraham. Now the religious Pharisee can say, our father was Abraham. We believe the prophet and all this. You know. It is not about the bloodline anymore. It's about the faith line. That's why when God gave this faith of the gospel to the Jew, they rejected it. But God had a purpose to blind them up for a while and turn to the Gentile to take a wife for himself. Huh? Just at the time of Joseph was in Egypt, who got an Egyptian wife. And they put away all the people of Egypt out of the palace when he revealed himself to his brethren. That's why Jesus Christ will come and take the bride, the gender bride, off. And then he will turn and reveal himself to his brethren, the Jewish people. You see. So when we look at the line, look at it very carefully. Now go back to Exodus 7 now. Jacob had 12 sons. Now, who was the firstborn? Reuben. But Reuben was a rascal. He slept with his father's concubine. I mean, that's a very terrible thing. Huh? You see, they're all from four different women. The only one to whom Jacob really loved was Rachel. And Rachel has only two. There are only two. There was Joseph and Benjamin. But Jacob loved Joseph a whole lot. But he was not the firstborn. Reuben was the firstborn. Reuben was not given the right. No birthright given to him. Judah, number four son of the Simeon Levite, Judah. Judah, well, you know, he lied to his daughter-in-law, Tamar, you know, promising the son when he grew up, give it to her because the first one died and so on. I didn't. But nevertheless, one thing Judah had, the character he had, was that he was willing to admit his fault. He was willing to admit his weakness. And all this appeared in the palace of Joseph. Now, when we look at Joseph, God had a plan. There was a famine throughout the land, and there was food in Egypt. But the famine was coming also. And so God had a plan, hitch out, and you know how that Joseph was taken. His brother don't like his visions. And they knew that the father loved him very much. So they were sick of hearing him talk about his visions and dreams and visions and dreams. So they saw him to the Ishmaelite, and they went and saw him over to Potiphar in Egypt. Well, you know the story how that God allowed something to happen. He was in prison. And then he was lifted up because he interpreted the dream of the Pharaoh. And so God had Pharaoh, through Pharaoh, make Joseph the second man, number two man in Egypt. And he overlooked all the affair of making sure the people have plenty food. And so for 7 years, he amassed a lot of grains. And next 7 years came the famine. And by that time, of course, Jacob out there in Canaan land, there was no food. Drought was there. Famine was there. So they have to go down and to Egypt and buy. So as you know, the story went and how that Joseph recognized the brother. The brother didn't know him, as I already told you this. After all, when Joseph was in sort of as a slave, he was only about 17 years old. And he was in Egypt for 20 years. So his mother by that time was 37 years old. Right. So when the brother came, of course, we look and recognize him. He wore Egyptian garb. Perhaps he had some kind of, Egyptian or some kind of beard, things like that down here. Yeah, he speak Egyptian. And they could not understand him. His Egyptian accent, as I said. They don't recognize him. You know. So he was touching his brother. And that's when Judah finally admitted, when he was told, that Joseph told you, bring your younger brother. If you said you have it, the younger one. But you know, Judah had to explain the whole thing about the fathers and all these things. Why the son, why all the children were there in the presence of Joseph? All the 10 of them, excluding Benjamin. Reuben was the firstborn, and yet Reuben didn't have the courage, right, to tell the truth. You see the kind of character that Reuben was? Huh? But Judah was worthy of it, and that's why the kingly line will always come from his blood. But the birthright went to Joseph, the birthright of fruitfulness. Abraham's promise, his covenant was twofold. There will never be a king absence from Israel, right? There will always be a king in Israel. Who's the king in Israel today? Huh? Who was it? It was Christ Jesus. They have crucified him. They have crucified their king. And God blinded them, their eyes. And their king decided to go and take a Gentile wife. Right. And that king will come back and sit on that throne forever. He is the last and final king. The King of Kings. You see. So, in the palace, finally when Joseph revealed himself, and what then we have in verse chapter 7 of Exodus now.
And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto the Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hunger to you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth my enemies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by a great judgment.
2:12.
And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, when he spake unto Pharaoh. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod, and cast it before Pharaoh, and he shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and he did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh, and before his servant, and he became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt, and they did also did in this manner with their enchantments.
12.
For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rod.
Alright. So now the way they were, Joseph was in Egypt, and the children of Israel, or the 12 brothers, or I mean the rest of the brothers, and the father, and all the household also went into Egypt. Okay, and the Bible tells us there were 70 of them that went into Egypt. 70 of them went into Egypt, and they were slaves in there in Egypt for 200 years or so. 215 years, by around there. And by that time, they got so many people, at least estimated to be 2 million people or more. When they make the exodus out of Egypt. So now, while they were there, they lived very happy in the land of Goshen. The land that they chose for themselves actually was very nice. They cultivated the land that God will bless them. But 200 years later, you must understand, after Joseph died, there were other pharaohs came in. All these pharaohs knew Joseph because they were there. Even though after the pharaoh who knew Joseph passed away, and the next one also known. But then came, the Bible said, there came a pharaoh that knew not Joseph. Who is this pharaoh? We don't already know who the pharaoh is. A lot of people try to put who the pharaoh is. Some said Ramesses, some said it's Thutmose. But the thing is this. This other pharaoh that came in after the 12th dynasty, I believe, it was the 13th dynasty. These are pharaoh, not the Egyptian pharaoh themselves. They are born Egypt. They are actually Hyksos. They are a people who are traced back to the land of Canaan. Do you know that when Abraham came down from the Mesopotamia and went to Canaan land, right? Canaan were already infiltrated with Canaanites, the Amalekites, the Perizzites. They're all of those children of Canaan. But the children of Canaan also moved out to Egypt. Now who was the forefather of Egypt? It's most likely Mizraim, one of the sons of Ham. Right? Okay. Sons of Ham. But one son of Ham was Canaan. Canaan was a bastard son of Ham through his mother, because he committed incest with the mother. Now this is a lot of things nobody has to hear, because I've been attacked by people in denomination and people in the Brahmic sites, thinking I'm crazy. I cannot prove it. I prove it. Canaan was a bastard son that came out from Ham and his mother. And his father, so many of sons, the Amalekites, the Perizzites, and the Ammonites, and all these others were there. But some of these Canaanite people that came down to Egypt as well, on the eastern side of Egypt, by and by the population increased, they moved in, and finally, they became Egyptian, so-called, and became a pharaoh. One of them became pharaoh, and so their line then continued. Because, like in China, we have so many dynasties. I believe India also, they have their own dynasty, some sort. Alright? But the same thing over in Egypt. They have different dynasties of pharaohs. And the one that knew not Joseph was from the Hyksos group of people. And they are Canaanites. A mixed race of the Canaanites. And now, of course, he hated Joseph. Hated the children of Israel. What happened now? So we see here that God sent Moses. Interestingly, God, later we realize that God was putting the children of Israel on trials. He wanted to test them. But the Bible in the book of James said that, but Abraham put on trial. Huh? And James told us that, do not consider all this fiery trial as something strange. But it was God's will to try us, to make us as precious gold, try in the fire. If our faith is not trial, put on test, then what kind of faith is that? If everything is easy, as I said, one easy religion, be a Roman Catholic. Or any of these other religions, or any of these denominations of Christians. It's the life that we live, the faith that we hold on to, the revelation that we stand on. You know, unshakable, according to the revelation of God, not according to denomination standing. So when we look at what God did to the children of Israel, it should remind us that if they were put on trial, so we are going through trial alone. So don't complain and grumble and things like that. I mean, we do, don't we? Yeah, I mean, we are human, we are carnal. But we should bite our tongue when we start to complain. Bite our tongue. So we cannot complain anymore. Stop short of complaining. You see. So, well, God had Moses. And the Bible said that Moses was a goodly child. Moses had how many brothers and sisters? Who was the first in the family of Aaron? Miriam. Right? Was the firstborn. After Miriam came Aaron. After Aaron came Moses. So by the time then, at that time, before even Moses was born, there was a lot of this hatred for the Jews, huh? In the land of Goshen, in the land of Egypt. So they were mixed slaves and so on. Pharaoh wanted to kill all the firstborn, all the sons, right? All those sons want to kill them. So when Moses was born, the mother put him in a little bulrush basket. Huh? And then let him float out into the river now somewhere. And the Bible tells us that Miriam was at that time estimated to be about 7 years old. I mean, little brother. You know, and mommy, why do you want to let him go? We're going to save him. And they put the basket to flow in the river now, so Miriam followed, right? You know the story. And then she saw that Pharaoh's daughter pick up basket. And she was a little 7 year old girl, mind you. Went out to the daughter of Pharaoh. Hey, you need a nurse, right? You need a nanny. Yeah. And that's how Moses was raised up by the mother. So, in the palace, of course, everybody knows Moses then. But at that time, Moses didn't realize that he, when he grew up, he didn't realize that he was a real Hebrew until a bit later, as he grew up a bit older. And he realized that he was attached more to the Hebrew than was the Egyptian. But because of his authority, because he was raised up there, with all the Hebrew cultures, and I don't know whether they shaped him bald or not, and put him on that little funny looking hat, I don't know. You know. But by that time then, God only had a plan for Moses. So one day, you know what Moses did? He killed a Pharaoh. I mean, killed an Egyptian. And the Jewish people there, and they don't even know Moses was his own. Or their own. And for fear of his own life, he ran. And he ran where to? To Midian. And there he stayed with a relative. Long distant relative called Jethro. And later on married his a daughter called Zipporah. 40 years he was in Egypt. 40 years he was out and he married there and stayed there. And at the age of 80 he came back. 40. And Moses died 120. 43 times, huh? 40 year period. So when he stood before Pharaoh, he was 80 years old, 80. And Aaron was 83, 3 years older than him. And God said to Moses, I'll make you my mouthpiece. I'll tell you what to do, and you tell your brother Aaron what to do. So Moses went there. You know, Moses always complaining. At first, actually, he complained. He said, I was scared. I don't know how to talk and all these things. Yeah, I thought there's a lot of lame excuses, huh? Right? Yeah. Sometimes when you're asked to share with something, I don't know what to say then. I don't know what to do. Come on. Don't laugh. You can laugh. That's true, huh? It's not that we don't, but we have a lot of trying to get out of the situation. So God used Moses and showed Moses, what's it in your hand? Remember? A snake. Stop. Throw it down. What happened? He turned to a snake, right? Pick it up. But the snake was not a snake the way we talk about a snake supposed to be. Now, since that God told Moses, go on, he stand before Pharaoh now and tell him, Pharaoh, to let my people go. Right. Now here we have a contest between Moses and Pharaoh's men, generals and generals. Right here we can see the two clear cut off who are God's people and who are not. Who has the faith of the true God and who has the faith of a false God. And you can go back all this, push that back all to Genesis. One to Cain, the other to seven people. Right? Okay, now, it says here in verse 9, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. The word serpent here is not Akash. Akash, in the book of Genesis, you find serpent, Nakash. Nakash means hiss. Like a serpent hissing. Enchanter. There's sort of brother in America who told me this, and I've shared with you before. He had a dream one time. He said it was so real, they found himself in the forest. While he was working in the forest in the evening, he saw, as the sun was down, he saw this beast out there in the field. It was so mesmerizing, was so enchanting. His skin was shimmering. You know? And he said, Brother Gail, when I first saw him standing there, he said, every zoo in the world would like to have this creature in their, you know, to show. And he said, when I woke up, and he said, the Lord spoke to him, that was the serpent. Said, Brother God was so beautiful. He was so handsome looking. That's why now calls me enchanter, hissing, whisperer. But here is not the word, Nakash. It's tanin, which means something which is monstrous looking. Something which is not commonly seen as normal. Either is some, you know, sometimes there is a word that the Hebrew used, and many times people try to figure that out by giving it, say, oh, it's a sea serpent or some, you know, enchanting beast looking thing. But here, Bible gives us a clue. It is a snake, alright. But the snake is so terrible looking. You know what I mean? You ever seen a normal snake, right? Have you seen a snake that looks ugly, perhaps, and you say, whoa. Last night I was watching this Blue Planet. You know, Blue Planet series? No, I was watching one of them. It's so unbelievable. They went down to the deep ocean in Antarctica. About something like 3 miles down or something. And I couldn't believe what I saw. The creature that was there that nobody ever seen. They were filming it. You know what I saw? They showed a fish. The head is transparent. You could see what's inside the head. And his eye that was on it, he could look through the transparent, look upward, through the dome. He says, what? You know, they're all strange creatures. Yeah, it's a fish, but it doesn't look like a fish. It looks like a creature out from outer space. Yet it's a fish. You know, so the one here, someone is, yes, a snake, but yet not a snake the way we know it. And I want you to know here that God now is demonstrating to the children, to the Egyptian Pharaoh. Do you know that the Egyptian people worship the snake? They have this bent over like chroma thing, whatever. So God is trying to show Pharaoh. And of course, when the arrow threw on the rod, it turns into that serpent. Then the general says, "Oh, we can do that." So they threw them down, and they become. Now the question is, how is it possible? First of all, we need to know, Satan does not create. He cannot create. Satan cannot heal. But Satan can alter forms. Unbelievable, huh? Satan can alter forms. That's why he can come to you in an angel of light, right? Is that right? He can alter his form. Now, when we said Satan, the devil, right? How does he look like? You know, the people say the devil. I don't know, you know. I mean, if you were in the Chinese environment when I was young, the time when I was, before I knew about Lord Jesus Christ, I was so afraid about it. 7 months, you know, 7 months? They worship the demon, all these things. And I had a nightmare. I tell you, no nightmare. I actually saw him with my own eyes open. I was so fearful that I literally see it. We were living in a one room, one hall apartment back then. When the first time the government built those places. One room, one living room, one bedroom. And there are 8 of us. 6 children, parents. And we were squeezed inside another room. My father used to read his Chinese Kung Fu storybooks into the night. So he happened to be the someone, my goodness, I was so afraid. Look at it. Everybody was sleeping, I was sleeping. My light, my father's light was on, you know, it was really still on. I tried to sleep, but I couldn't get to sleep. At midnight, after already late in the morning, midnight, my father switched up the light. The moment the light was off, my eye was open, I see 3 demons. You know, Chinese demon, the one with the long tongue, the cow horn, and the black face looking like, oh my goodness. Ah! It was coming, I was sleeping down, they were moving towards me. I closed my eyes. I see when my eyes are closed also. And then I was so, I said, I called my father, turn on the light. Turn on the light. My father said, what happened? I give excuses, bed bugs. 2 months of bed bugs. You know how that the fear can create this sort of thing? Yeah. Right. So devil could come in any form and do any kind of things according to your fear. But this enchantment, this is a real thing that they can alter. But they come to a certain level, they cannot do a thing. You see. So well, you know the story how that Moses serpent eat up the 2 serpent. Alright. So now the next one. We have in verse 17 first. Thus said the Lord, is this thou, indeed thou shalt know that I am the Lord, behold, I will smite with the rod that is in my hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And in verse 22, and the magician of Egypt did so with the enchantment. They could do the same. But what is this? Is it real blood? Well, they said that they are not real blood. It is actually red algae. Have you seen red algae? Probably most of us have seen green algae, right? Yeah. You see, red algae are those, they can multiply very fast. So Moses put the rod into the river and it turned into blood. It looks bloody, huh? Thick. And this is what's going to happen in the days of the 70th week of Daniel when 2 prophets prophesied. The Bible said the ocean, the sea, yeah, will turn to blood. Mediterranean Sea will turn to blood. That means that the algae was so much that the ship couldn't even move. You know. So, the magician could do the same. They hastened the growth of this algae. The altered state. Now we look at the next one. Chapter 8. Here we have the plague of frogs. No, when Moses did the turning the water into blood in the river Nile, what was so special about river Nile? Because the river Nile, they worship the Nile. They have the gods of the Nile. So God is actually, through Moses, displaying his power against the gods of the Egyptians. Huh? You understand? The next one is this. The frog. Alright. This is also against their god. And they have a goddess by the name of pronounce it. It has a frog head. So Moses brought forth frog. Verse 7. Upon the land of Egypt. Lice was brought forth by Moses. But the Egyptian magician could not do it because lice were not related to any of their gods. So they didn't do anything about it. Nothing. Now, how do you bring forth lice unless you bring it from egg? Right? So this is what many Christian scientists try to explain, that lice were brought forth through because of the heat. At that time, it was summertime, it was hot, they hastened the growth of the egg and by God's process. Alright? So, verse 18. And the Egyptians did so with their enchantment to bring forth lice, but they could not. The next one was the plague of flies. And the Egyptians do worship this. They worship this, the god of flies. It's called Kofira. I know, they have all kinds of Egyptian names, huh? So God was doing that to Moses. And finally, in verse 28, and Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the God, to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only if you will not go very far away. Pray for me. Well, a lot of people say, pray for me. Have you had friends who are not Christians say, pray for me? Yeah? Yeah, they do. You know? I try to change, pray for me. I try to give up my cigarette, but pray for me. You think that they care? When my non-Christian friend who doesn't want to hear what I'm telling them, yeah, I'll do it, pray for me. I say, I'll do it once. Once is enough. If God is going to deal with this person, He will do it. You know. Alright, so, but you find out that Pharaoh was a person. How many times must God deal with him before he give up and let the children of Israel go? The next plague, chapter 9. Here we have the cow issue. Alright. Verse 6. And the Lord did things on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died. But of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. So God smoked the cow. And cow to them was a god also. Well, sounds very familiar. India had worshipped the cow too, don't they? Huh. Alright. And then we have next plague, the plague of boy. In hope, tap God of healing. So, verse 8. And the Lord said to Moses and unto Aaron, take to you a handful of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. And verse 10. And Moses did so toward heaven, and he became a boy, bringing forth with blends upon men and upon beasts. So this disease came upon the people of Egypt. They come within minutes, in days, and people start having all this growing, coming forth. If I say, how could it be so fast? How many of you have hives? You know how hive works, right? You start to scratch, oh, next moment it comes out very fast. And same thing with this kind of boy. Some kind of boy, God may just multiply, increasing. And then we have the next one, the plague of hail. Aha. Uh-huh. Here we have the sky god, and his sky god is called Nut. Or Nut, he pronounced N-U-T. Nut. Protector of the mother of the sun god, Ra. And we see that, of course, it says in verse 18. Behold, tomorrow about this time, I will cause it to rain, a very grievous hail. And God told Moses to tell the people, his people, let all the children of Israel get into the house, get into the room, bring your animal into the room. Because the hail is going to come down. And hails are big. Not tiny little droplets, but these are big. And you are in the open, you die when it hits you on your head. And cattle die. Alright. And then the next one that we have, chapter 10, the plague of locusts. And the name of their god is called Sicknacum. Locusts hate God. You know, you just don't worship all kinds of gods, all kinds of creatures, you know. I don't know whether they have as many gods as those in India. Right. And we have, we read over in verse 9. Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old and our sons and our daughters and our flocks. And with our herds will we go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, let the Lord be with you, and I will let you go. And your little ones, look to it, for evil is before you. No, I would not let your younger one go, because before you have evil intention before you. He told Moses, you and your man can go and worship God, but don't take your younger one with you. Well, that's how it is. Now we go right down to the next plague in verse 21, the plague of darkness. The plague of darkness. Now God is demonstrating. Amon Ra. I think you all know about all this Egyptian god in the movies. Amon Ra. So, God now hit darkness upon the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh was the son of Amon Ra. He was the son of sun god. So the land, God sent darkness upon the land of Egypt. But strangely, in verse 23, he said, they saw not one another, neither rose up from any place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Goshen. They were just down south in Goshen, to the east of the river now. But here we have the children of Israel, light. But in the other side of Egypt, there was total darkness. How is that possible? How is it possible that you shine the light down and light comes over here and then this side? You cross over, you see the light here, you cross over there, you see the lightness, darkness? No, that's not what it is. What was believed to be so, and in the research, archaeological research, they found that it was a sandstorm that blew from Sahara, from the desert in Saudi Arabia. You know, Saudi Arabia side, there was such a sandstorm that blew over. And when it blew over, it passed Goshen. So Goshen do not have this sand that blocks the light in the daytime. Alright, but it happened to hang over on the other side. How many of you have entered a sandstorm? If you ever seen a sandstorm, it's terrifying. You cannot see anything. Yes. Sandstorm and the dust that was brought in. If you go on the internet and search about the patterns of the wind, you can find how that Sahara Desert wind was blowing into the sea and then was carried over to Europe. Strangely, huh? That's how strong winds really are. And when they hang upon the place, when the wind stops blowing, the dust hang up there for several days. And that's what actually happened according to, you know, biblical science as they study. Verse 11 now, chapter 11. So finally, there is only one final thing in verse 28 of chapter 10. Pharaoh said unto him, get thee out from me, take heed to yourself. See my face no more, for in that day thou see my face, thou shalt die. Moses said, thus you have spoken well, I will not see your face again. So they left, and chapter 11, the children of Israel were told to borrow. Not borrow. The word used, the word borrow here, that sounds strange, right? Verse 2. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor, every woman of their neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold, right? Actually, it's not borrow. The word borrow here is not quite a good word to use. But it's take. Just ask. Ask from the Egyptians that you know. And they gladly will give it to you. But you know what? It is true, because a lot of Egyptians that knew the children of Israel, that they were good people. And how hard the Pharaoh has been towards them. And he gave them, and they willing to give them the jewel to go. And so, of course, and then in verse 4 onwards, about midnight I will go throughout the land of Egypt and smite all the firstborn child. Firstborn male child, right? And so in chapter 12, we can see the institution of the Passover. So now we can see that in Israel was in bondage. In Egypt. They worshipped their God, and Egypt don't worship their God. And when Moses stood before Pharaoh, it was demonstrating the power of God, and Egyptian Pharaoh and his men, the general and the generals, those who were supposed to be priests, high priests, enchanters and whatever. They have their gods. Now we can see that two lines. That you always see when the children of Israel move, the serpent trail follows after. When God, in His grace and mercy, saved the people of Egypt in the days of Joseph, and the kingdom of Egypt was at peace. Everybody was happy, they were prosperous, because Joseph was there. But now, the trail of the serpent follows. The moment that the good Pharaoh died, one of another came, then next came a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. That shows that serpent trail. That shows the ugly head of the serpent. And what was the purpose of that? Satan was behind it to try and destroy the children of Israel. That's what last week we talked about. The first beast of Revelation that has seven heads. The first head was Egypt. Was the Egyptian empire that tried to destroy the children of Israel. Even when Abraham was out there in Canaan land, even when the 12th son was born to Jacob, those Canaanite people, they were not seeking to destroy Jacob's people. No. They were not. Huh? It was in Egypt that we see the first empire, the first kingdom, to seek to destroy the woman Israel of Revelation chapter 12. And that's what we see. So that ugly head of the serpent rises up. Alright. And we realize one thing also, that we look at Moses. Moses was number 7 from Abraham. As Enoch was number 7 from Adam. And Enoch prophesied about the judgment of the Lord. So Moses was number 7 from Abraham. You know he was number 7? Abraham. After Abraham came for who? Isaac. Isaac came for Jacob. Jacob came for 12 sons, right? Then Moses from? Under Levi. Levi. Levi gave birth to Kohath. Kohath gave birth to Amram. Amram gave birth to Moses. So, and here judgment came always in the 7th. Anybody who tried to seek to destroy Israel will find that number 7 has a very important part to play. Yeah. And we also even see the 7 head coming to Enoch on the beast, trying to destroy Israel. And he'll face the judgment of God. Do you see the trail? All right? And Moses was a type of Jesus Christ, of course. Now let's go to Exodus chapter 14, verse 11 and 12. Brother Henry, will you read that?
Exodus 14, verses 11 and 12. And they say unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness.
Right. Now, they got out of Egypt, approaching the Dead Sea. There was always a murmuring. Now, we are looking at two separate different people, the Egyptians and Israel. We are not. Now we are all now looking at the camp of Israel. So the understanding is not our Israel, our Israel. Because we are talking about the faith now. We are not talking about the bloodline. So out of Egypt they came, they went out. And no sooner they got out before the Red Sea, they murmured. So we are going out to die here? You know we tell you to leave us alone? What? They want to go back to Egypt. Think about it. They'd rather be a slave. How many of you have watched the news last few days ago about that North Korean soldier? Huh? Who ran towards South Korea borderline, and you know, the demarcation zone? He was desperate. And then had some kind of sickness as well, and he ran. It's harder to live and die escaping rather than be slave in the kind of regime they're so oppressive. I would do that too. You want to live in a land like that? I'd rather die running, escaping, rather than to sleep down there. Hell, yes sir, yes sir, yes sir. Do all kind of stupid rituals that they have. That man, all the Kim Jong and all the father, grandfather, they are so wicked and as evil as could be. Huh? And just as evil as Hitler and Eichmann. And yet there are people that believe, some Christians that believe that, you know, there's no such thing as hell. You know what? You sow, you reap. There's no something that you did all the bad thing and you get away with it. God is the judge. Where did the law of the land come from? In many of this land, they fear God. Our judiciary system. Where did it come from? It come from the Bible. Ancient time where people took the Bible, took some guideline. You did this, this is what you have to pay. This is a sentence for you because of what you did. I couldn't believe my ears when I read what's in the newspaper last week or so. Charles Manson died in orange. I thought they executed him. You know about Charles Manson's case? The man who killed Sharon Tate, so many people? Huh? Kill them. And it happened that when they were about to pass sentence, they already have changed the law. No more death penalty. Life imprisonment. And he lived until 84 years old. All these years, back in the 60s until now. Unbelievable. The Bible is an eye for an eye, a life for a life, right? I believe in that. And yet I know many Branham would tell me, but Brother Branham don't believe in that. So, Brother Branham don't believe in that. He is entitled to it. And a brother here in Singapore tell me, who has the right to take a man's life? That's because he kills somebody, who has the right to take his life? I says, the law. Who? A man who is given the order. Who has the right to do that? The Bible said so. The Bible already gave you at the very beginning, in the book of Genesis. If a man take a man's life, God says, by man his life will be taken. That's God's law. Abraham has his opinion and view. Like he said, I don't agree with white man wedding a black woman. Or a black man marry a white woman. He has his view. I have my view on many things too. But that don't make it has said the Lord. Oh, now you dare to speak against the prophet born again. Look at me in the face. Did I speak against the prophet? Or are you trying to put words in my mouth? These are facts of life. Every man has opinion. When the Bible says so, it should be carried out. Otherwise, we have a problem in the world. That's not why we have a problem. You understand what I'm talking about, huh? Not that it was a child doesn't know. Read the paper today. That young man, 15 years old, was manipulated by a man to kill a woman. And he's now 31 years old, 16 years in prison. And he says, I don't know what I was doing. I was only 15 years old. The man manipulated him. It was in the paper. The man who manipulated him was Anthony Lear. He was a psychopath. And the man was already sentenced to death already. But this young man now is asking for freedom. Huh? It's a difference between a man who doesn't know what he was doing and a man who knows what he was doing. You understand? Now when you're drunk, you start to fight and then you kill somebody. That's manslaughter, that's not murder because you're all in the drunk state. Like in a paper a few days ago, the reporter, the taxi driver molested a drunken woman in the cab. Yes. We are living in a world that is sick, very, very sick. No wonder the Bible tells us to keep away from alcohol, strong drinks, because it makes your mind crazy. It numbs your whole senses. You understand that? Alright, let's close up with it. So now the grumbler says, well, what were you out here to die? You should have listened to us, you know, turn up to just my own business. At first, when Moses did all the wonderful miracles and all that thing, the children were happy, we're going out now, we're all free. We're free out there and halfway, and when our army comes and the problem starts, you start to blame on the leader. You start to blame it on the leader. Yeah, a lot of people, it's very easy to complain. Like I said, it's very complain. Our system sound is so bad. The drummer doesn't know how to play the drum properly. The guitarist doesn't know how to strum properly. The sound leader doesn't even know how to lead properly. What is all this complaint? Huh? We are not professional. I wish. You know, yeah, the denomination, you know, some leader know how to lead and good guitarist, good drum then. Of course, because they have a big resource, right? They have a large pool of souls. I mean, resource. Huh? They have how many hundreds of thousands of people, right? So there must be some who are good in music. Here we have. How many of us here? We are just but a small group. Yeah, tell something. If Peter and John were here, and they hear us sing, they say, you're singing better singing singer than we are. Probably. So why complain about all this and that? That human nature is nothing but full of complaint. Yes. Blame it on anybody else, somebody else. But you know one thing, the day when God judged the serpent? Huh? Serpent didn't open his mouth. God came to the garden looking for who? He wasn't looking for Eve. He was looking for Adam. Adam, where art thou? God came down in the evening to sit with him and Eve. at the in the banks of the river have fellowship. But Adam and Eve didn't keep appointment. They went to hide somewhere because they were naked, covered up themselves, hiding among the bushes. Of course, God knew everything. I already told you. God doesn't mean that God acts that he's bodoh, that he knows nothing. Pretend, where are you, Adam, where are you? No, God knew everything. And I said this, God wanted a response. Every time when God asks a question, not that he doesn't know, he wants a response from you. He didn't come up to you, you're a bad boy. He won't tell you that. He will ask you, where are you? Tell me what you have done. What are you hiding? Oh, what are you hiding? What are you wearing this thick leaf? I was naked. Who told you you were naked? Now he asked more questions. He wants the words to come out from your mouth. Then when he does, Adam, what have you done? What do you know? This woman you give to me? That's what happened. She gave me the fruit deed. What? Blame on a woman? So Adam was saying, if you don't give me this woman, there's no problem. Well, that's true, isn't it? Eve, what have you done? This guy here, so mesmerizing, so seductive, you know, she seduced me. Well, you have the right to say no. Right? Yeah, you know, handsome creature, handsome. She seduced me. Then God looked at the serpent. The serpent just keep quiet. Nothing could say. God don't have to ask him anything. What have you done? No, nothing. To a snake you shall be. Off with your legs, off with your hands. You crawl now. And slam yourself away. God never even asked a question to a serpent. God deal with his families. It's her family, you understand? He doesn't deal with the people of the world out there. Because this world is not God's. This world belongs to Satan. He's coming to take his people. He's calling them out. So stop grumbling. And what did the Bible say? God say? Abraham said this. Verse 14. The Lord shall fight for you and ye shall hold your peace. The Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. And even in the last few years, in 1967, the 67 war, right? God fought for Israel. And the war is coming against Israel, God will still fight for him. You just hold your peace. Stop grumbling. God is with us. Let the serpent, let the nature of the people out there in the world who want to hold on to that serpent nature in them and stir it up, leave it them alone. And let us just walk in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Heavenly Father, your grace. Thank you, Lord. Bless the rest of the day, Father. Take the word further and break it down to us, Lord, and help us to understand more. We thank you for today. Thank you for thy word. In Jesus' name we praise you, Father. Amen.